A couple of Sundays ago, we began to reflect together on different concrete steps that we can take in order to open our lives to the grace of God that brings healing and restoration, and possibly physical healing, but first and foremost, interior healing and restoration of our relationship with God. We talked about how first and foremost, we have to be convinced that evil does not come from God, and that God really does desire for us to experience this healing for which we long. He wants all of us to experience that, not just some. Then last Sunday, we talked about how one of the things that we can do to help open ourselves to receive that is to pray to the Holy Spirit and really beg the Holy Spirit to come and fill us and lead us and guide us in engaging in this process of welcoming God's healing. And we said that we really do need to reach a point where we can make a definitive, clean break with the patterns of sin in our life. Whether it be interior, like sins of thought, for example, the tendency to judge other people or to be impatient with others, sins of speech, whether it be lying or gossip or using the Lord's name disrespectfully, or sins of action, whatever those kinds of sins may look like in our life. Whatever it is, we need to reach a point where we can make a definitive decision. I'm just not doing this anymore. And today I'd like to propose two more steps to help us on this journey toward receiving God's healing. And one has to do with that definitive break. You know as well as I do, even when we make a firm decision, one time is not enough. We can't just, you know, find ourselves in a great mood, feeling really strong and saying, okay, I'm done with that, and then expect that habit will be gone. We have to keep renewing our resolve to stay firm in that commitment. Now, this may seem obvious, but we need to renew that resolve when we're not in the midst of the temptation itself. So if someone is trying to overcome a gambling habit, they have to decide not to go to the casino. They don't go to the casino and expect that they're going to be able to make this firm decision once they get inside. Oh, I'm not doing this anymore. Or if someone's trying to get away from the habit of gossiping, they can't go and hang out with the friends that they usually gossip with and expect that they're just going to be able to be strong and say, I'm not doing this. It's in the times when we're not in the midst of temptation, not in the midst of those contexts where we find ourselves inclined to sin, that we need to renew our resolve. So, when you're washing dishes, or doing your work, or driving, or going for a walk, whenever you have a moment to turn your mind to the Lord, talk to him about these things. Use those moments to renew your resolve to make that clean break with whatever it is in your life that's keeping you from loving God more. So that's our next step. Persevering in that decision to steer away from sin. The second step is a little bit more involved, and it has to do with changing the way that we think. When I was in the seminary, one of the priests on the faculty was also a psychologist, and he used to keep telling us that if you want to change a behavior in your life, change the way that you think. Because if you change the way that you think about something, it's going to eventually change the way you feel about it. And if the way that you feel about it changes, then the behavior itself is eventually going to change. For example, we might look at some sin of thought or word or deed. And if we're looking at that thinking, I've had this for 30 years, how am I ever going to be able to overcome it? It's impossible. It's not going to change. If you think it's impossible, I'll guarantee it's not going to change. But if you start changing the way you think about it and realizing, you know, God is so much bigger than whatever this trouble is in my life, I know that God can change this in me. And you start to feel different in your attitude toward this particular thing. You feel stronger. You realize that with the grace of God, this thing can change. Sometimes a pattern of sin may be just a symptom of something deeper in the heart that is out of order. For example, people who struggle with addictions often have a lack of a sense of self-worth. So perhaps they're seeking to be comforted or seeking pleasure in something that's going to make them feel good because they don't have a sense of security that they're really loved by God. I'm not saying that's the case with every addiction. But sometimes you can see the symptom, the sinful symptom is exactly that. We might think that it's the main issue in itself, when in reality there's something else deeper that's going on, and that's where we need the change of thinking. Or perhaps it's a matter of changing thinking in this way. If we think, I'm pretty good, there's not really that much in my life that I need to work on. You may be very good, but thinking that way is going to blind you to the things in your life that really could use some conversion. So if I go through life thinking that I'm already 95% of the way toward perfection, then that 5% is going to be quite elusive. I'm not going to pay much attention to it. We look at the first reading in the gospel today, and these may not be major themes, but we do see that the characters in these passages are open to a different way of thinking. Look at Abraham. He gets this message from God. Take Isaac, your son, your only son, who, by the way, was this tremendous gift that you received in your old age when you thought that you would never have any descendants. Take that son into the land of Moriah, up the mountain, and sacrifice him. I don't know what was going through Abraham's mind, but I would have been quite confused if I were in that situation. After all that God had done, now he's asking, you know, to bring all of that to an end. But Abraham somehow is able to set aside his own reasoning, his own way of thinking, maybe his own frustration with not being able to understand why God is asking this, and he steps out in faith. He goes up the mountain, takes Isaac, builds the altar, gets the wood on the altar. He's just about to deal the fatal blow, and the messenger of the Lord intervenes. And it was to show that Abraham's heart was all for God, and that he was willing to do whatever God asked, even though it didn't make sense. The poor disciples in the gospel, they probably didn't know what was going on either. Mark even tells us they were terrified. They didn't even know what to say. But perhaps this is the beginning of them looking at things in a different way. They surely start to see Jesus in a different way after he's glorified right before them. But they're confused. They don't know what rising from the dead means. But it seems that they're willing to keep following Jesus even though they don't understand. During our journey of Lent, the Lord is calling us to experience healing of our relationship with him. And part of that is ridding ourselves of sinful patterns that keep us from being healed. If we are firm in our decision to part ways with sin, and if we start to change the way that we think about the sins and even about ourselves, then the Lord is going to bring us to a place of great healing, restoration of our true identity in him, and a place of freedom from all that keeps us bound.